Izzy is real deal grieving, y'all. While we have Sid getting real deal threats, and then everybody else just being played like a stack of cards. Stay tuned as we talk all things LA's finest.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up?
Hey.
We back 2 days in a row. Okay, that wasn't a row. We skipped a day. We back the day after the day that we went on air the first time. You know how that go.
Yes.
Anyway, we're back. So, welcome, everyone. Tonight, you are watching LA's Finest Season 1, Episodes 4 and 5, okay? Because we know y'all missed us from Monday, but we here again. Tonight, we are going to be talking about Episode 4 and 5. We're going to give you some background about Izzy, the McKenna family, all they drama, Sid's past life, and her old boo popping back up. Mm. Not only that, we have some great news for you guys and top comments, and we're going to end it off with our predictions. But before we get started with all of that, I'm your host, Portia Carter, and joining me is my lovely co-host, Ashley Allen.
Well, hello, Portia.
What's up, girl?
Double duo, back at it again.
Back at it again.
That's twice
like,
in one
that's
week.
That's like us. Come on, let's go.
Yes. You know, we do business. We get stuff done.
They the ladies making it happen, just yes. like us.
Yes.
Yes, for the bean. Okay, so episode 4, Deja Vu. Let's get your overall thoughts of the show.
I really liked episode 4. I feel like episode 4 really moved the story forward.
Finally!
It gave us some dirt. It gave us some information, some questions that I really was bothered that I was going to have to wait to get answered from last episode. So I really liked episode 4. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, I like episode 4. It's like we're digging slowly but surely. I don't like this slow. I don't like the slow dig because it's like once... It's like a little bit predictable.
Okay.
So it's like we have an idea of what has happened and we know exactly what's happened like in Sid's past life, but we're waiting for the people around her to like kind of come to terms with it.
Right.
If you get what I'm saying. Yes. I guess what I'm going to explain with that is more so in episode 5. So we're going to get to that.
Okay.
First things first, let's talk about Izzy skipping school.
Izzy's out here in these streets.
We knew she was up to something.
Yeah, but I didn't think it was this.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. But if she's going to be up to something, I'm glad that it's this and not just some random nonsense. At least it makes sense for her story and her character.
I don't know. I don't know.
How do you feel?
She's still a little skeptical in my book. I understand, okay. You know. She, you know, grieving and she wanna run off and go, you know, have a little word to word, heart to heart with the woman who killed her mama. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's just a little word, heart to heart thing that she really wanna have with this lady. I mean, granted, she can't do nothing because the lady is in jail. You know, she can't do not a dang thing.
Yeah.
But I believe there is some darkness behind her grief.
Oh, absolutely.
I believe there's a lot of darkness.
Yes.
And I mean, I don't know.
We got to see a little bit of that darkness. And it actually kind of broke my heart when she did finally break down. I'm sure we'll get to it. And she kind of blames her mom to a certain extent.
She blamed herself.
That's sad.
She blames her mom. She blamed herself in a way. And her mom. And it's like, I guess she blamed her. She said that she couldn't stay with me or something.
Yeah, she didn't.
I forgot what she said.
She blamed, kind of put a little bit of blame on her mom. She's like, well, how come she couldn't hold on until the ambulance got here or something like that. Anyway, I just think the point is it was out of her mom's control. It was out of her control. It was just something bad that happened. So I really hate that she's even putting blame on anybody besides the person that was driving the car that hit them.
Yeah. What'd you think about Nancy having this tracking device on her?
Listen,
you think
in
that's
today's
little...
society,
you need it, huh?
When my kids watch this, you know, some years later, I'm going to have a tracking device on you guys. I'm just telling you right now.
No facts.
I'm just saying.
Like that when,
teenagers
you know,
are not the same when we were teenagers.
Okay, I'm having tracking devices when they come out the womb, okay? I'm just going to tell the doctor, it put a little device in their foot while they can't feel it, okay? Go ahead and know my little baby. Look, she gonna grow up with that device in her foot. Yeah. It's okay, because I'm gonna find her wherever she at. No, for real though. But I just thought that was like, we don't know when Nancy married Patrick. So we don't know how the now McKenna family is together. But we do know that not only is Nancy's step-parent, she has developed a love for Izzy. Mm-hmm. And they have like us. This is not normal. The kind of step-parent and child relationship that they have is not normal. I'm trying to tell you, okay? Anyway. So, yeah, that ain't normal. But their dynamic is kind of like, you know, it's really like free.
Yeah.
And I believe Nancy understands Izzy because she's been a teenager before.
Right.
But she has a heart for her because she's never been a teenager who's grieved. So mm-hmm. it's like she's trying to understand that. But I love the protectiveness she has with implanting the tracking device in her phone.
Absolutely.
And tracking her everywhere she goes. It's just like, you know what? You ain't going to be surprised when some stuff go down because you know where she at.
Exactly. And then again, like we're saying, I think at this point in time in Izzy's life, where she's had a traumatic experience, she's at that age where things can go wrong quickly, of course she should have a tracking device. So
this fake ID that she showed up to the precinct with, was that a dude?
No, it was a girl.
Really?
It just didn't look anything like her.
It
the
looked
only
like
thing
a
had
dude.
In common was the hair.
Right. Why did she think that was going to pull that off?
Because she's a teenager.
Right.
She's right. a teenager.
And why did she leave her best friend in her house, though? I was confused.
I guess she trusts her, but I would have told my best friend, you gotta go. I'm not, no evidence here. You gotta go. I'm leaving.
That was so weird.
You know, they don't think things through, so.
I'm still trying to figure out how the girl got out the house without anybody knowing that she was there. Like, anyway, that was a little weird. Anyway, let's talk about this drug bust.
Yes.
Okay, so the show starts out with Sid and Nancy chasing his homeboy down, and the homeboy is just so happened to be a guy who robs drug dealers, who robs them and commit homicide mm-hmm. on them. Like, he shoot up the spot on them fools, take their drugs, take their money, and he out of there. He has been a serial drug dealing scam bust-up
yes.
killer. He was on his way to his next drug stash raid when Sid and Nancy knew about his whereabouts, knew his little track record, and they pulled up on him. He just so happened to get hit by a car. They end up at the hospital. And once he gives them the details of his next drug thing that he was about to do, they plan a drug raid on the people for themselves and decide if they want to plant the drugs that Sid stole from Cirque. How did you feel about this whole situation?
I thought it was a very smart situation. It was very dangerous.
Facts.
But what else were they going to do with the drugs?
Right. So, they had to be planted in a drug raid.
Yes. I like that idea.
I would have never thought of that.
I would have never thought of that either.
But it's like, Sid can't just pop up at the station like, here I go.
Right. Right.
And don't nobody know where she got these from. You know?
Yeah. So I think it was a brilliant plan. I'm glad that these two were able to pull it together and actually get it done, because you know they're always arguing with each other.
Yeah, so, they argued in the planning process at the hospital.
I think the only part of the plan that is pointing the finger at them is when they had to call in the gas leak. Remember that?
I mean, but she called it in on a flip phone. You can't track those.
I know, but it's like, it seems very coincidental that the location that they were going to do a drug bust all of a sudden has a gas leak, and then all of a sudden they find the drugs that they've been looking for this whole time. I don't know.
Got a point there. So that could give it away. And you know what else I think could give it away?
Hmm.
Two things.
Okay.
So two things they did wrong that just wasn't okay. So you got your part, and then so, okay, I guess that's three things. So yours is one,
mm-hmm.
them calling for the gas leak.
Okay.
Stupid. I mean, not stupid, it's smart, because they needed a way to figure this out. They needed a way to get in there and plant the drugs.
Yeah.
So that's cool, but, you know, it was a little phony that them two was missing in action from the office.
Right.
From the bust, from everything, and that's what happened. So that right there. And then the second one is if they had cameras of Sid's dad showing up, dropping that car off. Okay. Okay. Because shout out to Papa, he showed up and came through for the girls. Okay. And then the third thing was Sid hooking her dumb phone up to the Bluetooth at the dang old chop shop.
I didn't even think about that.
I was so mad when she did that. And they kept on showing it. I'm like, I wonder, is that how Lieutenant Calloway was going to know that it was Sid? Because you can go through any time a Bluetooth speaker has been hooked up to somebody else's stuff. You can go through that Bluetooth speaker and see who it's been hooked up to. It's going to name the phones. It's going to name the connections that it's had. Yeah. Anything. Like, it's always traceable with Bluetooth. And it was Sid's phone. It wasn't even... And you see, that was like the XR. Like, you see, this wasn't a play phone. This was a whole iPhone. This was her phone.
Yeah.
It wasn't the burner that hooked up. Like, this was her stuff. And I'm just like, they going to trace that Bluetooth speaker. Like, if they go through all the evidence in the place, they going to trace that Bluetooth speaker back to the hookup of Sid's phone when the music went off, and that's gonna be a fail.
True. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's a really good point.
Because I was just like, how did he know it was Sid? I thought that's why. Because remember, and then shout out to them for this moment of having like daddy daughter, I guess, toast.
They're bonding.
Yeah.
See, their relationship is growing. She's getting softer.
Yeah.
This is what I want to see.
And he working his way in. He just, you know. Yeah, so they have that little moment, but when Calloway was blowing her phone up while he was there, I'm thinking that he found out because of the speaker. That's what I was thinking.
I don't think it's because of the speaker. I think he already has his suspicions of them anyway. And then, like you said, they're missing. They're the only two missing in action. So where are you guys, and how is this all of a sudden popping up here?
Right. Facts. And how do you feel about Nancy's lying skills? Because she looked Lieutenant right in the face and said, I don't know what you're talking about.
Nancy's not that good of a liar.
She's not. Because I was looking like,
at all.
You seem a little shaky in your answer, baby girl.
Yeah. And I just, she could barely even look him directly in the eye. Yeah. And I feel like he's the type of person, when he asks you a question, he already knows the answer.
Yeah.
So.
I hate when people be doing that. Like how he tried to pull up on White Ben.
Yeah.
And he talk about some what you think Sia got going on, you ain't worried about it. He like, that's my friend, you can chuck the deuces, you look like a narc, get out of my face.
Yep.
Just shut that all the way down. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about Sia's past life.
Okay,
so in this episode, in Deja Vu, we kind of get Deja Vu. That's why I guess episode 4 was titled Deja Vu. So we kind of get this Deja Vu scene where Sid, she goes into the shower and she remembers being in the shower with, now we know him as Agent Warren Hendricks, but at the time it was just a Deja Vu of her in the shower with her boo daddy.
Yes.
Okay. So then we get a few more flashbacks like throughout the episode of boo daddy being the boss man at the DEA. So they got this whole thing where they're working the Gabriel Knox case together. He's giving all of the orders, but he doesn't trust her to act out all of the orders in her way only. He wants to put his hands in it because she's a woman.
Yes.
And not only is she a woman, she's his woman.
His woman.
And he loves her and he cares about her.
Yes.
How do we feel about these past life experiences that we get from Sid that pop up?
I think these past life experiences, again, it's helping us really get to know her and why she is the way she is. So that, those flashbacks really made me understand a part of why she treats her dad the way she does when he tries to help her.
Yeah.
It's because she's always and has consistently been undermined, or I want to take care of you, da da da, because she's a woman. So that makes sense, you know, like I said, not only because of her past and her dad not being there, but why she reacts to him the way she does when he wants to help her. It sucks that women have to go through this and that we constantly have to fight this battle of proving that I'm just as good as you or not better. But I think that not only is she handling it, she's showing them. She's showing by action. So, good job, Sid.
Okay, and you hit it right on the nail, because let me tell y'all something. Y'all underestimate us. Women ain't going to get y'all too far in this world.
Now.
Y'all better wake up and recognize that we are the number one, okay?
Yes.
And we got this. No matter what you think, what you say, we gonna handle ours our way, okay?
Amen.
So, Sid is handling hers her way.
Yes.
The only thing that was a little scary is when, you know, Lil Kobe pulled up, talking about Knox want to meet you in person, and this was not a part of the plan.
Yeah.
So, boo daddy boyfriend boss. That was a lot.
That's a lot.
Boo daddy boyfriend boss is like, no, Sid, don't get in the car because, you know, she's a woman and she's his woman and he has this protective shell over her. But she decides to get in the car anyway. And, you know, that kind of plays into her downfall of mm-hmm. what happened to her. Not only does it play into her downfall, it was how she lost her baby because of the torture and everything that they did to her. We haven't seen everything, but in episode 5, she kind of alludes to, you know, things coming back. And she's seeing flashes of what used to happen to her. But before we get into that, I just want to say that I do want to mention the part about her visiting the babies. Okay. So we know that she, you know, lost the baby. And we find out in episode 5 that it was Hendrick's baby.
Yes.
So they have this thing. Well, she has this thing where since she lost a baby, she goes as she uses her cot badge to get in, but she goes to the ICU unit, mm-hmm. you know, every night and rocks newborn babies to sleep.
Yes.
And of course, she's a regular because the nurse, when she saw her, she like, I ain't seen you here in a minute, you know? And then when, this is the only way I can describe him. Please forgive me if this is, you know, outrageous, but White Ben, you know, has this thing where I don't know why he feels comfortable with telling Sid what's going on with him, but he feels comfortable enough to be open with her. And he lets Sid know that the reason why I didn't want everybody knowing about, because, you know, Black Ben told the world that he was pregnant. Him and his wife was pregnant and having a baby.
Yeah.
But, you know, White Ben tells Sid that I didn't want everybody to know because this is our third attempt. This is our third try.
Right.
So Sid, being the great friend that she is and showing him what helps her, takes him to the baby ICU unit so they can rock the babies to sleep. How did you feel about that?
I absolutely love that. And I think that that's a great idea.
I was like, oh.
I think that was a really good idea. It showed us the softer side of both of them.
Yeah.
Especially Ben, because we're so used to seeing him being in the competitive mode with Sid and McKenna and him being the funny guy. And I think it also shows that, you know, when, you know, a couple loses a baby, it doesn't just affect the woman. It affects the man, too. So I really enjoyed seeing that other side, that soft side. And, again, just a reminder that it affects more than just the mom.
Yeah. Oh, that just hit me hard because you never really see the man's reaction to losing a baby.
Yeah.
You never really, because we get all of these moms, you know, with testimonies of miscarriages and things of that nature. And just like, not even just Sid, but the character who is the character, but Gabrielle Union herself has been very vocal about her having 8 miscarriages.
Yeah.
And the reason why they decided to go the surrogate route was because of her miscarriages and her body not being able to carry. But even though she talks about it, we kind of don't ever tap into the way that Dwayne feels about it.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah.
So we got this whole man, Dwayne Wade, all in love with baby Kavaya. Sorry. Kavaya. And, you know, got her tatted all on his back and stuff. And now we're getting a peek into the man side of things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard. Losing, it's hard on everybody.
Losing babies is no small thing
in
any kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of losing, we don't want to lose y'all, okay? We don't want to lose y'all attention, y'all love, y'all comments, or y'all support. So let us tell you how you can stay with us.
Yes, and how you can help us here at AfterBuzz is to make sure you follow us on all social media. But before you do that, we want to take the time to thank you guys for making us here at AfterBuzz TV the ESPN of TV talk. So the way that you can help us is very simple. It takes 5 seconds, guys. All you have to do is follow us on YouTube. We have so many channels, so many different interests here at AfterBuzz TV. We have a horror channel, comedy channel, What else? Romantic channel. We have action. We have everything. We cover everything here at AfterBuzz TV. And if you're driving and you can't watch us on YouTube, make sure you go to iTunes. We have podcasts there. And then while you're there, make sure that you give us a 5-star. And then make sure that you leave comments on iTunes and on YouTube. We read them all and we interact with you guys. And we may even give you a special shout out if we have a really, really good comment.
In our top comment section, okay?
Yes, definitely. So that's all that you have to do. That's all we're asking. It's very, very simple. And again, make sure that you support us, and we thank you again for making us here at AfterBuzz the ESPN of TV Talk.
We love y'all.
Yes.
So episode 5, it was titled Farewell. Okay, we don't want a farewell with y'all. We love y'all. Remember me saying that? We love y'all. No farewells, okay?
Yes.
But episode 5 was titled Farewell. We had a lot of different things going on. First and foremost, because we just talked about it, let's just tap back into this Sid and Hendrix dynamic. Because that's how episode 4 ended. But when 5 started, you know, Lieutenant Calloway and Agent Hendrix, which is Sid's, you know, boo daddy, boyfriend, ex, all that, they have this whole plan of how they're going to take Gabriel Knox down, and all they want is Sid to be a part of the task force. How did you feel about that?
That was so rude. The way that they went about it, I would have been pissed too, because she definitely was ambushed.
Yeah.
She had no idea that baby daddy was going to be there. And I just feel like if you're going to want her expertise, at least give her a heads up. Like, don't ambush her like that and then make her shut down, because that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. And then, you know, he could have reached out.
Yeah.
He could have helped her. He knew. I feel a little bit, you know, emotional about this part, because she had flashbacks about this man, but he knew that Kobe was there.
Yeah.
He knew how to find Kobe. He knew all the details about this man sitting right in her neighborhood and ain't tell her nothing.
Yeah.
And the flashbacks that she having is the torture from Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
You see why I'm emotional?
Yes.
Because if I was being tortured by a man and you ain't tell me he right here in my neighborhood, I'm gonna go for his neck and then I'm gonna come for yours.
Yes. And not only that, he knew why Sid moved to L.A. He knew that she came here to take them down, to find the people who did this to her. So why not get involved from the beginning or something besides just popping up and giving her information that you could have given her in the first place?
That you could have told her on a personal level.
Yeah.
Obviously, because at the end, we see them having like this little chessboard where they're talking and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And on the chess player, he mentioned that the game is still going on. And then under every piece is a name that connects somebody to Gabriel Knox.
Yes.
And so he was like, oh, you still playing this game with trying to find Knox. So you already knew she was doing stuff like this.
He
you already knew she was doing stuff like this. The least you could have did was told her what was up.
Yeah. And I understand, you know, respect the code, respect the badge. He still has to do his job at the end of the day. But don't you also want to protect the woman that you love?
Facts.
Just saying.
Facts. And then this man get all aggressive and done shot the man dead. The one way to Gabriel Knox, and I just feel like, okay, they needed to kill him so that he don't give up no information so that they can keep the story going. Okay, cool. Do what y'all do.
Yeah.
But he done shot the man dead.
So now,
ain't even give her the opportunity to shoot him. Because Lord knows she was going to take him out after the questioning, okay? Somehow, some way.
Yes.
Somehow, some way he was going to be a goner.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird seeing her trying to save his life, though. While he was down there, laying there, bleeding out.
Why?
Because it's like, this is the man that tortured you, and you trying to put your fingers in his wound so he can stop bleeding.
But she's trying to save him because that's the person that's going to lead them to who they want, which is Knox.
But it was a little weird for me.
Okay.
I would have been kicking dude in the face. Like, die! Die, fool! Die! I would have been kicking him, okay?
Oh, my God, Portia.
So, with this Sid and Hendrix dynamic thing, they are, like, everybody, I guess, can feel their tension.
Yes.
And everybody can, I guess, feel what's going on. Because, you know, Black Ben caught them in the elevator together. And he like, one of y'all come off the elevator because I need to go somewhere.
I got stuff to do. What are y'all doing here?
What are y'all doing here? And then, you know, Nancy goes to Sid and start asking some questions about what's going on between y'all two.
It's so obvious.
It's so obvious about that. Like, their chemistry is on 10.
Yeah.
Even Lieutenant Callaway knows he back by himself. He know what's up, too.
Yes.
He know what's up, too. But what Sid disclosed with Nancy was pretty personal.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty personal, and it was her first time being open about this. And she let Nancy know that the baby that died was Hendrix, and he does not even know.
Oh, man.
He didn't know she was pregnant, didn't even know he lost a baby. That's not crazy.
See, now, I'm going to have to say now, Sid... Why does this man not know?
Yeah.
And, but I mean, I understand that she had just went through a very, very traumatic situation.
Yeah.
She probably just wanted to get out of town. She probably just couldn't emotionally even handle that on top of what she had just been through.
Yeah.
But what happens in the dark always comes to light. This man is going to find out, and it's going to be worse. Find
My
out
thing
later.
Is, Lieutenant Callaway... did a background check, saw the pictures, read the file, everything on Sid.
Yeah.
He probably know. So why you don't know? You were the boss. You were the one in charge. You were the lieutenant over her case. How do you not know all of the medical records that happened with her torture and her losing a baby in this whole situation? Like, I'm confused. How
That's
does
a really
he not
good
know?
Question. That's a good question.
Like,
I don't
is
know.
It not in the file? Or maybe she probably... you know, took it from the file. Or maybe, you know, she didn't find out that the baby was gone until after recovering. I don't know. Like,
no, it should have definitely been in the file.
Yeah. I mean, granted, she only could have been like, you know, maybe like 6 or so weeks, maybe like 10 weeks or something, because she wasn't showing
right.
when she got kidnapped. But she knew she was pregnant.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But she definitely wasn't showing. And I feel like she shouldn't have been out there on no tasks like that, knowing she was, you know, at least starting a family.
That's very true. That's very true.
But you know what? Maybe she didn't know she was pregnant, and she found out that she was pregnant and lost the baby at the same time.
Okay.
At the hospital.
I think that makes more sense.
Because, oh, yeah. Because when she explained it to Nancy that first night, the first episode, when they were standing over the bridge, she did say, you know... all I heard was the medical records of what happened to me. I was tortured, blase, blase. I was pregnant and lost the baby.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's probably what happened.
Okay. Okay, so then now I understand why he doesn't know, because...
she didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay. But still, if it's in the medical records, if she found out, because she didn't know nothing that happened to her, but if she found out that she was pregnant and then not pregnant no more,
yeah,
he should know too. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so we got that. Moving on to this case with the Bens. So, the Bens are solving this really weird case somehow, some way. Somebody in the LGBTQ community, you know, was a transgender. And what they did was they, you know, cut up all of his lady parts that, or her, because, you know, transgender, they change their gender.
Mm-hmm.
So, they cut up all of her lady parts that was implanted and reconstructed. And then left her all bloody and dead at a church.
Ugh,
a Catholic church at
that's
that.
Terrible.
And broke in. And the Bens are trying to solve this case. How do you feel about this whole thing?
I think this is a very, very sensitive topic.
Facts.
That is very, very real. I am actually kind of glad that this show touched on this topic because... again, I think it's something that people hear about, but they may not necessarily know how bad it really is and that it's still happening today.
Yeah.
So I think this is one of the storylines so far, or the cases so far, that I actually am glad is on the show, because it definitely needs to be talked about.
And then it's an ongoing case. This
yes.
is a part one of this case.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they ain't even finished solving it.
Yeah.
They don't know what's going on. And I think... you know, I did get a little emotional when the ladies, Sid and Nancy, pop up at the LGBTQ community group.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having this meeting, and, you know, a lot of the transgender women are telling their stories, and they're crying about how they've been harassed or have been abused or have had threats to them
yeah.
and things of that nature. But they're talking to this all in the safety of their church.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like a weird, it's like a, I don't know, it was like... I guess, a weird expression in the for the time and place that it was at, but it was very necessary. Mm-hmm. And it was very eye-opening because I don't think about stuff like that a lot, you know? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just being awakened to the fact that stuff like this is happening. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know for a long time. My first transgender encounter of knowing what that even was Bruce Jenner, okay? Or... What's the real name now?
Caitlyn. Yeah.
Dang. Forgive me, y'all. Forgive me, all your Kardashians. I'm sorry. But, yeah, Caitlyn.
Yeah.
So, that was my first encounter with knowing that was possible, that mm-hmm. people could actually change their gender. Like, yeah. I wasn't really, you know. I mean, granted, I have, you know, gay people in my family who cross-dress, you know, right. who may... Like, my big sister, she wears boys' clothes, mm-hmm. you know. She's just so happened to be married to a woman, but... I didn't know that people actually go to the very extent of yeah. changing their body parts and all of that.
Yeah.
So that's new to me, you know, I guess for about 5 years now.
Hey,
but I mean, don't see stuff like this often. So to see it and to hear their stories and to know that they are targeted because, you know, I grew up with my big sister and she never told me no stories about her being harassed and nothing. We've been living a real normal life.
Yeah.
I didn't know, you know, that there's another end or another side to, you know, people who actually go through these traumatic experiences with yes. this topic, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they showed us what happened. But not only are the men's, you know, tapping into this situation a little bit, we got a black man with the Bay's barbecue, okay? Okay, and look, remember last show when I said I thought, you know, Black Ben might like Sid? First of all, I take that back, y'all. I'm sorry. I had no idea that Black Ben was married.
I didn't know he was married.
And he married to your twin, girl.
Hey, sis. Hey, Kelly. I know. I was like, look at Kelly. Yes, girl. Get those acting jobs. Get those checks.
Okay. Get that back, sis.
Yes. But
she a reoccurring star, too. Come on.
Yes.
Because you're going to be Ben's wife forever on this show, okay?
Yeah, but I had no idea that he was married either.
Shout out to Kelly Rowland, though. We love you.
Yeah, shout out to Kelly. We love her.
Yeah, I had no idea he was married either. He's married with kids. So
grown kids.
Grown kids, too. Well, we don't know how old his son is, but we do see this little escapade at the barbecue.
Yes.
Some stuff is going on, okay? So they having a barbecue, and, you know, Kelly, I don't know the wife's actual name. We're going to call her Kelly right now because that's who she is in real life.
Figure it out.
So, you know, Kelly kind of like, you know, poke fun at him for showing White Ben the birthing video
yes.
and all of that is happening. But then in the background, we got Ben's son taking a beer to the head with Izzy.
With Izzy.
And we know both of them underage,
yes.
okay?
Baby
and they,
face.
Okay, but it's okay because I was 15 drinking too. But okay. My family had them do it. It ain't no better, okay? We were sneaking.
Let me just say, this was the one moment where Izzy really rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
I've been having sympathy for her for the entire show.
Yeah.
I have completely understand where she is, how she's feeling, and that she's angry. But I was just kind of upset. I'm like, well, you just embarrassed your dad. And not only is it just your dad, like, he's
DA.
All these people's boss. You know
yes.
what I'm saying? Like, look what you just did. So a part of me, again, is like, I sympathize for her. I feel bad. I know that she's young and she's trying to, you know, express all these emotions. But she just embarrassed the hell out of her dad.
Yeah. And then you throwing glass beers. You snatch it out of his hand. And you throwing glass beers at somebody else's house.
Yeah.
You don't live here. This Listen. Is the Ben's. This is Black Ben's place
don't
at
do
that,
that,
okay?
House.
And that's what he said. He literally said, hold on. So Black Ben is talking to his son and he just like, let me tell you something. Little white kids who go crazy and shave their heads, something wrong with them, don't mess with them. And as soon as he said that, that's when Izzy decides to grab the beer, chug one yes. more chug, and then throw the glass down and break it all so yeah. everybody can see what's going on. And she's having a temper tantrum.
He said, you see? You see what she just did? Yeah. I'm sorry. Black households, that is unacceptable.
That is unacceptable. That's you getting your ass whooped today.
But these are the type of moments that I really like about this show because it shows you that type
yes,
of thing.
Natural.
Yeah.
Real moments.
It's funny. I love
funny,
that.
Funny. So let's jump into the McKenna family. We got a lot going on with the McKenna family this episode. First and foremost, we know Izzy is having a thing. And so let's just go ahead and talk about, we talked about her thing. So after that moment, Nancy takes Izzy to the same place where the car accident happened, where the drunk driver hit her and her mom, mm-hmm. and her mom just so happened to die, and Izzy survived. She takes her to this scene, and she lets Izzy release all of her frustrations through screaming and crying and just letting it out. How did you feel about that?
I thought it was very necessary. I'm glad that McKenna did something that was kind of out of the box versus taking her home and sitting on the couch and preaching to her, all that stuff like that. Yeah. Like, sometimes you have to, as a parent, I'm not a parent, but I believe sometimes a better way to get through to your kids is to come down and meet them eye to eye instead of always being the authoritative figure.
Yeah.
And I think what she did in trying to actually relate to her and doing something different worked.
Yeah.
So even though that was a risky move, you know, taking her to that place in particular, I think it was really good, and it was definitely a moment where they bonded.
You're right, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I'm so happy Nancy did that. So next on the McKenna list, we get Patrick McKenna, who is about to solve this really big case. He about to solve this big case that's going to be a win for the team. His first term as DA intern, and he, you know, gets sidebarred by Carlene.
Carlene gone, girl. Get out of here.
Carlene goes to his office, and she like, you know, put your trust in me as an attorney and blase, blase, and I'm going to help you. You need to trust me. I got your back. Then goes behind his back and take his number one witness to the case that he is about to solve and makes him commit to her instead so that he has no witnesses. So the case is officially over. How did you feel about Carlene's move?
Carlene is smart. She's dangerous. I'm going to need Patrick to ask some questions about who is this Carlene that has just popped up in my office and popped up in my life. I'm going to need him to get a little bit more curious about who this person is.
Yeah.
Okay?
He ain't asking not one question.
Not one question.
And all he doing is looking at her. I mean, he looked a little uneasy when she walked out of his office, but that uneasiness was not enough.
It's not enough.
I need some more eyes looking crazy, okay?
We need some action.
Okay? We need some action. But one action that Patrick McKenna did take on today, he went and got his ex, well, not his wife, his first wife, because he's widowed. He was widowed. Anyway, so he went and got his first wife necklace and something that he was saving for Izzy until she graduated high school. He decided that she needed to have it now because of the emotions that they have going on. And so they sit on the couch and talk about her grief, and he presents her with this necklace, and it's like, it's such a very, I guess, soothing moment for Izzy. And it's a moment that now I can be open with my dad about how this is bothering me, because she felt like she was alone in this fight of grief. She felt like everybody had moved on and just walked away thinking that her mother never existed.
Yeah.
But now she has a peek into her dad's heart that, no, it hurt him too. Mm-hmm. He just don't know how to express it to her.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Sometimes when you're trying to be the strong person for everybody else, you forget to express emotion.
Yeah.
And it can come off as you don't care. So I'm kind of glad that this situation forced him to deal with it. Not only deal with it, you know, on his own, but with his daughter. So so she can fully understand, like, I am still hurt too.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think you need to have that moment and reminder together. It's not, you don't have to go through this alone.
Facts.
For both of them.
Yeah. And Nancy was listening to that conversation, and she just so happened to, you know, fall in love with what was happening too. So let's just, you know, talk about how Sid has this little encounter at the end, because the McKenna family is having their woozy-wazzy. Mm-hmm. And then Sid just so happens to get a knock at the door, and she thinks Jen about to come and, you know, I guess light her fire again like how she did. Because obviously this torture dominatrix thing that Jen is doing for Sid is allowing her memory to come back from the torture that she had before.
Yeah.
It's triggering that, and that's how she's getting her visions back and all of that. Mm-hmm. Whatever that's doing for her, she thought she was about to have it again tonight, but oh no. Jen came to her door drugged up with a whole message from little homeboy who was working for Gabriel Knox.
Arlo. Yeah.
That's his name. Cool. So Arlo done sent her a message, said, meet up at this spot, come by yourself, and she show up. He threatens her and let her know that he about to start tackling everybody she care about.
And she claims, well, I like the line that she said, well, that's a short list. He said, I think the list is much longer than you realize.
Yeah.
Dang. And he's and absolutely
then
right.
When he laid out all of the photos mm-hmm. on the ground as she's walking, she's literally walking around everybody that she cares about. Yeah. Not only that, he has mystery faces.
Mm.
Who you think the? I think the mystery faces is Marcus and Mike Lowry.
Yes, that's what I think. I think it's her brother.
Because they already show Hendrix.
Yeah.
He already showed her daddy. He showed the whole McKenna family.
Yeah.
He showed all of them. He showed the whole task force. Like, your coworkers, you care about them too.
Yeah.
But then he got some mystery faces. And it was about five of them. But yeah. I think at least two of them was Marcus and Mike Lowry. But you ain't going to get to them.
Yeah.
You know, them bad boys. They going to take you out like a, you know, they going to take you out with a quickness. And I really believe that they don't even know what she really had going on. Because had they know, Marcus and Mike Lowry would be all over that. Okay. Because they not playing no games about their little sister Sid. Okay. And Mike Lowry's ex-boo. All mm-hmm. right. You know, but anyway, we gonna see how that play out. Hopefully we get a little peek of Gabrielle Union as Sid in Bad Boys 3. We don't know how that's gonna happen, but we know Bad Boys 3, they are working on it.
Yes.
So speaking of Gabrielle Union, we got some news for you.
We do.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so I have just learned this, and I'm actually quite excited about this news and gossip because I don't really watch this show, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to at least give it a chance this season.
Okay.
America's Got Talent has a new judge. The new judge is Miss Gabrielle Union herself. Ooh. Check out this clip.
AGT kicks off the summer with two new judges, a new host, and all new talent.
Hallelujah! I'm a dancer, so this is like the best dessert I could ever have.
You
married hope, faith, and truth.
Wow. Come on, Gabby.
Yes. She says she wants to be on a show where she can help dreams come true. This is the perfect show, I believe. It's going to be interesting to see her on this show. I think it's going
to
be good.
First of all, shout out to Gabby for catching this bag, okay?
Yes.
Shout out her for securing that one, okay?
Yes.
And then making people's dreams come true. I would have never guessed.
I would have never guessed either.
I would have never guessed that she would be a judge on a show, but I like seeing this.
Yeah. It's a new look. I love
it. It's a new look, and I know it's going to be fun. She already up there talking about my favorite phrase. Hallelujah! Okay? Speaking of phrases, we got our special segment for the top comments of the night. This is a moment where we shout out a comment that you have left, or your friend have left, or one of your other peers, or any audience member. So make sure you watch, subscribe, like, share with us your insight, your comments, your everything, whatever you want us to know. If we like it, we're going to put you out there, okay? That's your moment to be shout out from us. So today on the list, we got Lily Gal One, who just so happened to let us in on Carlene's character and how they feel that she would portray in the show. So they say the actress who plays Carlene is Rebecca Budick, who is quite known in the daytime world. She had roles on several soaps, particularly for several years on All My Children. I did not watch that. But where she played the pivotal character Greenlee Smythe. I am not at all surprised that Rebecca is running with this role of Carlene and making the most of it. She is so good and can definitely hold her own with Jessica and Gabrielle. Come on. She can hold her own because we see the girls already doing that. They said that they hope Carlene lasts throughout several episodes. She is definitely going to bring another dimension to the show.
Yes.
Thank you, Lily Gal One, for that insight. We had no idea who Carlene was and where she come from, but now that we know that she is a great actress, we know that we got a run for our money coming up soon, okay?
Yes.
A run for our money. Speaking of run for our money, let's get your really quick prediction for the next couple episodes. What do you think about
AfterBuzz
to happen?
TV predictions.
All right. As I'm going to continue to say through the rest of the season, I think Sid's character is, her guard is going to come down with her dad. And I think her dad is going to be a really good, big, essential to her finding
team.
Who she's trying to find. I'm very intrigued by Izzy's character. And I want to see what's going to happen with her and Hendrix. I want to see a consistent lover in her life, and I think maybe he's the guy.
Facts. I want her to reunite with Hendrix. I believe he is eventually going to find out that they had a baby and they lost it within that thing. And that's going to fuel his fire to go find Gabriel Knox too. And then I also think that she about to warn the whole family that y'all need to be watching y'all back. Because yes. Gabriel Knox trying to come after all of us. Ain't none of us safe, okay? So, we going to find out next week what's going on to see if they in the safe zone or if, you know, Gabriel Knox done put his little hand and his fingers inside of Sia's life and taking out her people. Until then, why don't you tell them where they can find you?
All right, After Buzzers, you know where to find me on all social media at Ashley Reed Allen.
And I'm Portia Carter. You can find me everywhere at Portia Carter. See y'all next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.